All right, boys and girls, we're going to get started here in a couple minutes. I expect less on the fair side today because of the daylight savings time switch. As you guys know, we run a lot of Alliance stuff is run on Wisconsin time, and the U.S. and Europe are trying to sync up their daylight savings or whatever it is. So times have changed. We're doing this now. And once numbers stabilize, we're going to be going over the big news, which is obviously this whole scarcity thing and general war updates related to that. And we're going to be talking about the second founding squads who have picked their names and what is going to go on with that. Answer some questions, blah, blah, blah. There are some of these things that we need to go through that are going to be covered very much under future plans. And I need to make sure that I do not say too much on this because we have... I don't think I really care. I think I can just talk about this just fine. So here's the deal. In the middle of Legacy trying to move into our space and colonize our shit and convince us that we should be scared when they can't break 1DQ1, I would invite them to try. I'm surprised that they haven't tried to hit 1DQ1 yet. Maybe they will. We still have to prepare for it like motherfuckers. But into this very interesting mix of Legacy losing their home regions and consolidating their remaining pets into Esoteria as Faith Avalis is half fallen, and Catch has essentially been glassed, Impasse, MNC, almost all of their shit outside of Esoteria has been thoroughly torched. So it's not just that they're like, hey, like they're losing citadels, like that shit has been pretty well burned down. There's Esoteria, there's half of Faith Abelis. They had some pets flip on them. There's this group called IGC that was in Faith Abelis, and I didn't expect much of them, but they said, you know, fuck Legacy, fuck all this noise, and they have now done a lot of work in torching things in Faith Abelis. So that is cool and good. I want to give a shout-out again to Cypher Lionheart, who has been doing a really good job of updating the Legacy burning thread. I always start off with this because it's important when we are here in Delve and we are losing Keepstars and we are taking our lumps like adults, that people realize that the other offensive forces of the Imperium, our allies, are out there putting our enemies to the sword and making sure that there's no home for them to come back to, such that they have to fully commit into the wood chipper. And then this becomes a question of, okay, who wins and who dies? Do we survive? Do we stay in Delve and fight and then displace Legacy after they have lost all of their shit in what used to be their home? Or do we break and we run and what have you? We are not breaking. We're not running. I believe that 1DQ1 is safe. Some people are wibbling about this because people in Euro time zone, you might not realize this, but our U.S. time zone has recovered quite significantly. We're seeing very good numbers from our dudes in U.S. time zone, and the enemy does not have that many people in U.S. time zone. They can match us 1-1, 1.5-1, sometimes 2-1, but it's not like the scenario in Euro time zone where they can do a state of the pispy coalition or whatever and get 4,000 dudes and then try to ram them into 1DQ1. I think that at this point, an assault on 1DQ1 would be to our advantage, especially with all the scarcity stuff that's happening. I kind of do hope they take a swing at it. Hope springs eternal. You never know. But if they do, I think we're in a very good position there. So what is happening in terms of the big picture? Legacy is losing their shit. PanFam is here and is blowing up citadels in Delve, but not taking swings at the big ones where we can really like fight back effectively. They're always going for the most cowardly way possible to blow up structures. And into this mix, right, into this mix of, you know, blowing up structures in Delve, Imperium counteroffensive forces are burning down Legacy's home regions, Legacy is running out of cash, but they're colonizing our territory and they're hoping that we're going to leave. In the middle of this whole mix, CCB comes and drops a gigantic shit on the table, and it looks from our early analysis, and this may change. This is not something that we are completely committed to because we cannot predict what CCB is going to do. In the middle of this scenario where we know that Est's war bonds failed, that their test did not cover 5 trillion ISK worth of Titan reimbursements. We know that because we have spies. This is something we got in February. In the middle of the scenario where they're financially bankrupt, we know Brave is in deep shit, all of this stuff. CCB comes over the top with an announcement of something that looks like it is going to make the price of a Titan be higher than that of a Keepstar, right? This math can change, but from the looks of things initially, we're looking at 210 billion ISK or more titans, and the things that go into building citadels are scalable. There's not like a supply chain bottleneck there. So citadels, people are talking about the price is going to rise on that, but they haven't changed it such that citadels will require other things. So it's like, it's PI based and that's not a bottleneck. So we are in a very interesting position where the enemy is focusing. From the beginning, we have said, we are focusing on killing the enemy's strategic forces. So our job is to kill as many hostile titans as we can, because when the music stops, whoever has the most shit in terms of strategic forces wins. And the music is stopping. And yeah, that's cool, because we won the last couple of really big titan fights and the bad guys didn't. So that's interesting. So this is the overall big picture here. Now, what does that mean? Number one, that means you should not sell your supers or your titans. If you insist on selling your supers and titans, we'll buy them. We will totally buy them. But I would hang on to the fucking things, because if you have a titan, it looks like it's going to the moon. And that's great for us, because we started this war with the most titans and supers and stuff in the game. And as it stands right now, we still have the most titans and stuff in the game, and we've blown up a lot of the bad guys' titans and supers and stuff. So that's cool. It does suck that we're losing keep stars, I guess, but oh well. Dreadnoughts are looking to go north of 10, maybe 15. We're not sure. Again, one of the things in the analysis of the numbers is that there's a bunch of shit that is in what CCP has released that we don't necessarily have prices for. So we have all of our best finance people, all the GSS guys, the collective brain trust of the Imperium is bashing their heads into this thing. And what we are seeing is, things go way more expensive all the way around. So that's cool. I mean, I guess it's bad for everybody else if they were poor, but we are not poor. We are doing just fine in terms of ISK. And during the Casino War, our enemy's wallet tanked all the damage that we did to them. And so I think it's only fair that we get to wallet tank all the shit that they're trying to do to us while their shit just gets torched. So that's cool. So I want to talk about some of the other things here. What does this mean as far as us and the war? Well, it doesn't actually change things for us. It's good for us, but I don't want us to hear too many blurfs about it. I don't want us to be like running around on Reddit and on talk shows and things going like, yay, this patch is good, or yay, this patch is bad. And one of the reasons for that is we don't know what it is, because there are some of the, like, these are the early indications as to where it's going to go. These are the things that people are factoring in, more scarcity. We don't know all the exact details, and we know that CCP will listen to what we say and potentially change things if we say this is good, this is bad, whatever. So I want you guys to know, and I know saying it on a fireside means that it gets broadcasted to our enemies, but at least as far as public statements and things like that go, I want us to keep our powder dry. I want us to like wait and see how this thing plays out, because what looks good or bad right now might not be good or bad next week. Generally speaking, I think that scarcity has always favored us because we have more stuff than the bad guys. But exactly. As Legacy is saying, if we say that it's going to be good for us, they'll absolutely change it. So essentially, I want you guys to know what's going on in terms of the big picture strategy shit and why I'm like, hey, man, whatever, it's cool. But I don't want us like running through the streets cheerleading and going, yay, this thing is awesome, or yay, this thing is awful, or no, this is bad, or whatever. Let's just wait and see what the puppies do. If they start a fucking Jita riot over this shit, once they actually do the numbers and the math, that's great. But our position is going to be play our cards relatively close to our chest, not herf too many blurfs, and see how things fall. All right. And if you had a future plans, I guess this is all sort of in a future plans territory, if you're looking for that, for a bingo square. Okay, so let's talk about some of the other stuff. The big thing is obviously scarcity shit. Some of the other things I want to talk about here today. And if you have questions about the... let me actually take some questions about this now. If you have questions about the scarcity stuff or things that you're freaked out about or whatever, I want to hear at least him and we'll touch on this. And then I'm going to touch on the, actually, Robin Hood, I got that ping from you. I would like you to show that off if you haven't linked it already. So one of the things, this is just kind of a funny thing that wasn't going to be officially a fireside topic, but Robin Hood reminded me that he did a bunch of really good analytical work. One of the things that was interesting, looking at the legacy burning thread, is again a very good way to see that, hey, while we're taking our lumps here in Delve, useful things are happening overseas, and that, you know, our allies are getting closer and closer to home as Legacy's home regions are torched and Legacy tries to colonize and live on top of us. If you remember the Quantum Core stuff, this is kind of funny. In the lead up to the Quantum Core shit, the bad guys were saying that the Imperium is going to core all their stuff, and then Legacy and PanFam is going to take our cores and then use that to live in Delph. As it happened, we did not, because we're not idiots. Alliance structures, the vast majority of our alliance structures, were either quietly taken down or just never cored in the first place. And what is hilarious about the analysis that Robin Hood has done is he took a look at all the stuff that Legacy has lost recently, and turned out, because their leadership told them that they were going to be able to keep all of their regions and that they wouldn't suffer any losses and everything was going to be fine because Goonswarm and the Imperium was going to run to Saarinen or whatever, almost all of like Brave shit that got burnt down was cored. So it's not just that their home regions are getting torched. It's that Imperium members, like you have the Initiative, you have Bastion, you have dudes who are living in Fountain who at the start of the war had their stuff blown up, are now out there taking down Legacy shit. Legacy cored almost all their stuff and our guys are taking that. So that's pretty cool. That's a nice little payback for all the Fountain stuff. So that is essentially what's happening there. And Robin Hood then took that and went through and did some math to show that this was actually the case. So I want you guys to all see these pieces of the chessboard, because if you're like scared of 1DQ1 getting attacked, when I've been telling you, we believe, I mean, I think 1DQ1 is relatively safe. I hope that the bad guys do try to make a go at it, because we will murder fuck them. But yeah, these are the big pieces of the chessboard into which CCP has thrown this stuff. So it's hilarious that Legacy is going to be attempting to colonize us and live on top of us and what have you, when we knew even before this that they were broke, and now they're going to be broker and we're getting to take their core. So that's cool. I think it was like 620 billion ISK worth of Legacy cores have been stolen since they were implemented. So that's cool. 624 billion ISK in cores. So that's going into not necessarily all Imperium hands. Some of them are going into our non-coalition member allies that are also anti-Legacy forces. But like, yeah, guys, we're here taking our lumps in Delph, and it would suck if it wasn't for the fact that Legacy is losing their home regions, losing their cores to our forces and our friends. And after Faith Abelis is done, it's pretty much just crunching through Esoteria, and we see what happens after that. So, That's basically the big overall where we stand. So I'm going to move on to talk about some of the second founding squads and where that stands and where we're going with that. If you guys missed last week, we announced that we are going to be experimenting with recreating squads like we had at the early days of Goonswarm, where we randomly select people and we put them in groups. And these initial things were given placeholder names, and then we didn't mess with them for most of a week. And we told people that we wanted them to pick names. What we are going to do next, these squads have picked names and they are properly Goonie. I talked to Saarinen about this earlier. We have Fart Squad, Mosquito Squad, and Humiliation Squad. And if you guys decide that you want to change the names of your squads, you can do that too later on. But what the next step is going to be is this. Each of these groups is going to be getting their own sub forum, their own mucklocked jabber channel, all of the trappings of a proper squad, and a budget. And so the next step for this next week, after having picked your names, will be to, do something. And I would also suggest that you pick leaders, right? These are sort of obvious things. We have not told people exactly what we want them to do, because this is a experiment to learn how to do this better. We are getting a lot of lessons learned from what seems to be working, what seems to not be working. But they have picked their names, so I'm not purging any of these groups today, and I don't think we'll need to. So we're going to get those forum groups set up for you and get them get budgets attached to each of these groups so you can make mistakes or what have you. The goal for this project in general, if you're looking for what should your squad be doing or what should your squad not be doing, try to have fun and try to do something that benefits the coalition. You don't have to be like, it doesn't have to be all like public service, but we would prefer, it's not that we prefer, we want you to do things. We're providing these budgets and the structure and this ISK and this support such that you can find a way to move the dial in a way that helps the Imperium as a whole. So figure out what it is, make sure that it's not just like, hey, we're all going to go like mine and HiSec and do nothing and furiously masturbate and just ignore the rest of the coalition. The goal of this is squads should be helping move the dial collectively for the common good. So we'll see what happens with it. Figure out who your leaders are. We'll be getting the system spun up for you and we'll go from there. We are not going to be launching new ones until probably next week, because there's a lot of shit going on. We want to see how this works. So the next group of founding squads will probably be next weekend for those of you that are interested in the project and want to see where it goes. There you go. Okay, let me see some of these other things we need to talk about. I want to take questions in general from people. The main thing is I want to make sure that people aren't like wibbling because random keep stars are getting blown up. We have lots of keep stars, just like we had lots of Satios, and I expect that there's going to be a point here soon where the Euros are going to have an opportunity to take another whack at the hostile super fleet. If you guys remember, before M2, our strategy was try to line up opportunities to kill the enemy's strategic forces, because again, from the very beginning of this war, our whole thing has been to make sure that at the end of the war, we have more strategic forces to swing around. Strategic forces, of course, being Titans, super carriers, dreadnoughts, carriers, all that, but mainly Titans and supers to win the big, big battles. And that is especially the case now. Where, you know, if it looks like a Titan is going to be worth 210 billion isk, like, we want to make sure we don't crash ours into trees, and we make sure that we can kill as many of the bad guys as we can. So I don't know if we're going to get another attempt like that. That has always been our thing. These keep stars exist to set up opportunities for us when the bad guys make mistakes, and when we can see these windows, like with M2, or we can get in there and kill their Titans, because now it turns out our Titans are going to probably be worth more than keep stars, even on a one-to-one basis, which is ridiculous, but that is CCP. How to buy capitals now, contracts are gone. Yeah. So don't sell your caps. We are obviously, if you are trying to get a capital, it's probably a difficult time. Everyone, I think, in the game is going to be trying to shit out as many as they can and sit on them for obvious reasons. Questions about joining whole squad and things like that. We're not going to be talking about the wormhole strategy because future plan. It is something that is very much on our mind. One of the things for people that don't know what I'm talking about here is CCB has, and this is one of the reasons why it's important to not overcommit, and it's also important not to herf too many blurfs about this in public, is that there are a bunch of unknown unknowns about the CCB scarcity patch. There are a number of items that could potentially be bottlenecks that we don't have prices for. This is all what the finance guys tell me. I have no idea how any of this shit works. Essentially, the predictions we have about the super capital, the Titan prices increasing is reasonable. I don't think that we should try to play the market and like go, oh, hey, well, we think that battleships are going to be up and this thing is going to be down. Because again, CCB listens to what we say. Our enemies listen to what we say. And if we make too many moves or commit to too many different things, it's entirely possible that they go, well, we're trying to get rid of stockpiles and the players took this and they decided to build, you know, whatever. And so we're going to nerf that thing. Ha ha, fuck you for trying to anticipate us. So that's why we're holding our cards relatively close to our chest. And we are adopting a wait and see approach. We have the luxury of being able to do that compared to our enemies because we are sitting on a pile of fucking isk. Because we are richer than everybody else, that means that we have the opportunity of not needing to commit to catch-up strategies. The enemy needs to engage in catch-up strategies because they've got less Titans, less supers, less stuff than us, less isk than us, less assets than us. And we have the luxury of being able to wait and play our cards last. So that's what we're going to do. So some of these questions are ones that we can't answer. Will moons be important again? We don't know. Presumably, maybe not. Who knows? Preliminary prices on capitals and supers, like I said earlier. And again, this is stuff, a lot of this is public. There have been some analysis posted on REve. You know, looks like Titans north of 200. Supers, I'm not sure, but I think supers are getting a huge cost increase as well. We're looking at dreadnoughts north of 10, 12, 15. It's fucking crazy. Questions about whether people are tracking super sales or people trying to flip. We have an entire administration designed to track things like that, that has long pre-existed this. So good question, Dungeon Storm, and yes. Am I proud of Delta Squad? Yes, I am very, very proud. That's why we are doing this whole second founding thing. No more dread bombs, I guess. I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, basically, we have a potential advantage here. Every time we can catch the bad guys out and nuke their capitals or get them to put their capitals out on the field and vice versa, we have a much bigger hand to play with here because we have more stuff and we have more risk. Obviously, the M2 breakout where they spent 411 dreadnoughts looks very different now, doesn't it? I am really, really glad that we wiped out that dread fleet. Alrighty, let me see some other questions, and then we can... it feels like me as a player is being pushed out of the game. I mean, it is a very good... it is scary to watch CCP nerf industry. It is scary to watch CCP touch things that you can see from the way that they're doing it does not inspire confidence. It's always freaky when this kind of thing happens. On the other hand, I'm pretty jaded by it by now because I've been doing this for 15, 16 years for, you know, who knows, for whatever reason. But after so many times of seeing CCP swing a nerf bat at it, like, yeah, dude, it fucking sucks. But we also know strategically how to handle these kind of things is that in situations like this, it's better to play our cards close to chest and wait and see what happens and accept that, like, yeah, it looks like scary and bad, I guess, but is it actually going to be scary and bad in a couple weeks? We don't know. You never want to play your cards because you're scared and reactive. You always want to be as ice in your veins cold about this stuff because, yeah. Nina, that's a question you were asking earlier, and I think we even did some of that. That would be the thing where you would talk to the Edge about it. I also think we might have even had something like that. I don't want to subvert that process. How long can we last in an environment of total siege? Yes, we're in a situation where we can sustain this indefinitely. I don't really feel like we're at risk. Like, are we going to lose keep stars? Are we going to lose assets? Are we going to lose stuff? Yeah. Yeah, we are. I believe that in the end of it, Legacy stands to lose absolutely everything that they have. If we do it right, like they're trying to colonize on top of us, and either we fail to stay alive and we break and run and whatever, which is not going to happen. We will not. And again, I keep repeating this. If anybody, we are not leaving. We are not evacuating. We are fighting this out to the bitter end and then some. And I think that we're going to win. If I thought that we wouldn't, we would be making different moves. So yeah, just base your plans around that. If you're worried about your stuff, put in 1DQ1. As we've been saying forever, if you're worried about your stuff, put in 1DQ1. I mean, like, if we really, 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 really get into trouble ISK-wise, which isn't going to be happening anytime soon, I will ask or authorize another issue of war bonds, but I don't think that's going to be necessary as the way that things currently stand. Like, we're Gucci. Any idea how long scarcity will last? Oh, man. It is so hard to predict CCP. I would expect more scarcity bullshit to last for a while. I would not expect this to be changing anytime soon. I think we will learn more when we get so the meta show today is one of the reasons why I'm happy to sit around and talk and not like run off to prepare for the meta show. Is I will hopefully, famous last words, not be talking too much on the meta show today because it's going to be like a big ass CSM panel. We're going to have a bunch of CSM people on there to talk about the patch and what people think about it. And my eyes will almost certainly glaze over because we're going to be talking about numbers and production and very important things that my simple little bin brain can't quite handle. Vili is not going to be on the fucking meta show. Jesus Christ. Oh no, you're sorry. I misread your emote. Funny dry, I like it. I think we're gonna have Kenneth Feld on there and Merkelchen to nominate and Brisk, of course. So we're gonna be analyzing that, and if you're really like want gory detailed discussion of scarcity and where is it going and what do the people who've been talking to CCP think it's gonna be there. I would anticipate this as being the new normal. It has been the new normal for a while that CCP keeps turning the dials on scarcity. What's up with Siberian squads? They seem to be very happy. They are in Faith Avalis helping burn down Faith Avalis. The Faith Avalis thing is interesting. So good question is Jaxify, and I'm glad that people ask that because, again, one of the challenges in a stressful period of war or whatever is like people like rumors. Like one of the things that we were dealing with earlier in the Kremlin meeting is our Euros were like our U.S. time zone has been recovering and is doing way, way, way better. Like for about 4 months, their U.S. time zone was handling Citadels and it was in Euros heads off. And then when we did the big swaparoo, Euros ended up with Citadel timers now, and this was all that hit mid-March, and U.S. time zone was unsolved. And one of the things I've had to do is point to battle reports to, because, you know, Euros are asleep. They don't know if U.S. time zone is burned out or doing well. We're doing really well in U.S. time zone. Like, the enemy, the balance of forces there are something that I feel quite confident about. It's roughly even on big forums. We're seeing some battles where we end up outnumbering the bad guys. It's not an everyday kind of thing. Balance of forces are extremely favorable for doing what they need to do, which is to defend our remaining Sov in our little pocket in 1DQ1. And I'm quite confident about that because of all the things I just said, right? Like, I bet the farm on that, and it's working. So maybe it won't work. Maybe, who knows, everything's going to burn down or whatever, but I don't think that's the case. So if you're a euro and you're going, gosh, wow, the SOB is in US time zone, is that really a good idea? It is a good idea, because look how things have gone since we swapped it. Like, things have not, the 1DQ1 hub is still there. Things are not burning down. Oh my God, if there was going to be a crisis, the crisis would have happened already. So euros need to calm the fuck down about US time zone SOB defense. US time zone SOB defense, I believe, is okay. Maybe they'll listen to this fireside and then it'll be a whole big thing and then we'll herf worfs about it. But that's where we stand. All right, let me take some more questions. Basically, we're rich. We're in a very good position SOB-wise. We're in a very good position in terms of our Titan fleet. We're in a very good position as far as our enemies losing their home regions and our counteroffensive forces. As the enemy's home regions are torched, those further consolidate. And now it looks like the fighting is in half of Faithabolus, and then everybody consolidates into Esoteria, and then some other fun stuff happens or it doesn't happen. We don't want to go too much into that. I just need to make sure that people don't act like crying little bitches or wimp out or coward out or freak out or whatever, when at this point, literally, Vili is shoving Legacy into a fucking wood chipper into a way where they cannot recover from it, because they can't just go back and retake all this stuff because it's all getting torched and their members are bankrupt, their alliance wallets are bankrupt. It's a hot mess over there. And so they're pot committed to this. Like, they can't go, oops, sorry, guys, we decided we're going to not do this. They can't back out of it because they flew too close to the sun by putting T5ZI down. So we're going to take them for everything that they will feed us. All right. Let me check my notes here. Saw for US times mean more Cormorants for you, EUTZ. And yeah, I think that there's going to be a balance here. Like, what people should expect is Keepstars will get attacked. Some of them are going to get blown up. When we have an opportunity to do something like we did in M2 to punish the enemy and take out their capitals, take out their supers, and make those big fights, we're going to do it. Our goal through this entire war has been to kill the enemy's titans, to kill the enemy's super carriers, to kill the enemy's dreadnoughts, to destroy their strategic forces such that when the music stops, we are the ones left standing with the biggest strategic hegemonic force, which is where we currently stand. So that's cool. All right, so that is what people should expect. I don't really see too many like questions. Like, people are asking me questions about like CCB things, like, is Rourke blinding coming back? I have no fucking idea. Like, I being such a high profile person in this game, I have to like explicitly keep my nose clean about any kind of contacts with the CSM or anything. I have no idea what the fuck is coming down the pipe, except for what they say in the dev blogs and what we can glean from hobo leaks. Best pizza in Madison, I would say Falbo's. The chicken, bacon, and ranch pizza at Falbo's is fantastic. Are there squads aimed at harassing the ratters in our space? Yes, there are. You should join the Irregulars group. There's Afghanistan, there's Curious Georges. There are a whole bunch of people who are involved in Irregulars project, and I encourage you to get involved with that. Glass Nickel is pretty good. Like, Falbo's is something that's mainly east side, and I order from Glass Nickel a lot when I'm over here. But I don't really order that much pizza these days. Did Billy keep his nose clean on CSM information, though? I think that in general, if there was malfeasance from scarcity preparation, I mean, if I was Billy, and thank God I'm not, but if they knew that things were going to come down the way that they had, I don't think they would have committed to kamikazing suicide swan diving into trying to colonize Delve the way that they are. Like, this is super ultra mega bad for them and their position, but they don't have a choice but to keep going with it. Like, they're pot committed to this. Like, they have you know, the sunk cost for Legacy in this war is all of their home regions are burning at a time that they are bankrupt, and now more scarcity is on the way. So they don't really have a choice except to keep committing further into trying to live on top of us and hoping that we give up, cry like little bitches, and run for the hills, which we're not going to do. And if you know anybody who is like wibbling or upset or things like that, you need to quietly explain to them in small words why 1DQ1 is safe or the safest place to be, we believe, and to not freak out, right? There's nothing to freak out about. The situation is excellent. Our enemies think that the situation is not excellent, and that's fine too. We want them to think that we're in a terrible situation and it's awful, and then they should keep feeding us all of Legacy Coalition. Somebody's asking something about asset safety. I have no idea where your shit is. If your stuff is in, I would put your stuff in 1DQ1. That's where we've been telling everybody this entire fucking war. 1DQ1 is where you put your stuff. If you are worried about your stuff, I am not worried about our stuff. I can't control your emotions. I mean, I think it's hilarious. 200 billion disk plus titans. Are you fucking kidding me? While Legacy is losing all of their production ability as they try to like dive bomb into Delve. This is fantastic. They are screwed. Questions about beacons. Obviously, we have idiots bug zapping themselves, jumping to beacons. The old school, like, one of the reasons why I don't really talk about it much is because my attitude is kind of like Atrum's. Old school Syndicate goons will remember, OG straight out of Syndicate, SU-8A4 represent, baby. Old school goons know that the way that we handle people being idiots is we point and laugh at them. If you do dumb fucking things, and we have tried to meet you halfway and teach you to not do dumb fucking things, and you still do those dumb fucking things. I don't believe that you can teach people to not be stupid. Some people you cannot reach. Also, shit happens. Mistakes are made. Maybe somebody wasn't being dumb. But at a certain level, the only purpose they serve is an example to everybody else. And it's a Darwinian process of they bug themselves. Okay, well, that person's not going to do that again. Or if they do it again, who gives a shit? Fuck them, right? If you feel like your dick is shrinking, if you feel like your dick or your tits, I guess, are shrinking when you see somebody else losing something that wasn't yours, that you had nothing to do with, you need to be less insecure. Like, my dick doesn't shrink every time I see an idiot crash a titan into the tree. My reaction is, heh. Right? You know, just because somebody's a fucking, like, idiot about it doesn't mean that we need to cry ourselves to sleep about it. You can't control every person in a coalition as large as this. There are going to be a certain percentage of people that are stupid that can't be reached. They're going to lose things in dumb ways. Try to learn the lesson from it rather than getting frustrated by trying to teach every Tom, Dick, and Harry how to not be stupid. Humiliation squad joke goes here. Alrighty. Caracol's on the open market joke. Back in the day when we had escrow. All right, boys and girls, thanks for coming today. It was sort of nice to do mostly just a question and answer session here about some of the big picture strategic shit. Here's another one last one. Are there any plans to act on the release of ESS keys? Currently, there's trillions stored on the reserve banks. So here, KG, so this is a really good question. One of the reasons why I think that there is more scarcity to come and that there is more bullshit to come is that when I see CCP posting things in dev blogs that are designed to be sweeteners and promises towards a better future, like little hints like, hey guys, we're going to make player-created stargates, or hey guys, we're going to put Alliance logos on your ships as part of skins, or in this most recent scarcity blog, what they did, and I thought it was kind of clever from a manipulative media strategy way, which made me angry when I was reading it, but whatever, the patch is broadly currently plus EV for us, is they were like, hey, maybe we're going to do something about Clokey camping. Hey, maybe we're going to do something about the ESS reserve bank thing. Hey, maybe we're going to do something like this. Those are all future plans, future promises. And I don't really believe anything I see from CCP until it shows up in the release notes, because shit changes randomly all the time. And when they're talking about future plans and things like that, we can't put a timeline on it. You can't really rely on it. So I would advise all of you to have this sort of realistically pessimistic view about where CCP stands when they promise things. It doesn't mean it's the end of the world. It doesn't mean it's the end of the game. But don't go, hey, they had included one line about ESS stuff in a dev blog with a bunch of other one-liner future promises that aren't backed up by any like obvious plans or preparation. Those things are designed to make sure that the player base doesn't riot or freak out when they see the fact that their titans are going to go from costing $80 billion or whatever to $210 billion or whatever, right? Like the whole idea there was, if you guys didn't figure this out, the reason why CCB didn't really put any details about what these changes were going to be, except in a fucking downloadable file for everybody to then put in a spreadsheet and try to process it independently, that was very explicitly a tactic to try to keep people from figuring things out and immediately rioting. So basically, when ESS related things start happening or any of these other CCP future promises, we'll burn that bridge when we come to it. All right, boys and girls. Well, thank you all for coming. Let's keep on keeping on. And I will see you, those of you that want to hear about this stuff more, the Meta Show is going to start in 15 minutes and we're going to have the CSM panel, where I will hopefully not run my mouth and let all of the player representatives talk about their glorious communications with CCP, which I'm sure are, lovely and fun, and everybody loves scarcity. So thank you all for coming. We'll meet together next week, and let's get back out there. Let's see if we can kill some hostile capital ships while we're out there. It'll be good. See you next week.